Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and today we have something very special on tap. I'm joined by members of the Sacramento entrepreneurial ecosystem, right? These are people that are helping startups, helping entrepreneurs launch their businesses, get from point A to point B. I am joined by Laura Good and Jeff Bennett of Startup SAC, along with Cameron Law, Carlson Center at Sac State, and Monique Brown. She is, of course, here at Haney Biz, and today we're going to be talking about what life is like out there as a founder in this entrepreneurial ecosystem. Nobody builds a truly great company alone, but I would also argue that nobody builds a truly great entrepreneurial ecosystem or a truly great community alone. So we're going to be talking about that on today's show. And I will remind you, these people are people that are giving so much to this city, to this community. So if you are an entrepreneur, you need to stick around and listen because there are people coming on the show today that want to help you. So stick around, my friends, and I think you're going to enjoy today's show, and I think you might learn that the ecosystem here in Sacramento it's about to take off, right? We're emerging, a lot of great things on the horizon. Stick around, my friends. You know what, my friends? Nobody builds a truly great company alone. And I would submit to you that nobody builds a truly great future alone, and that includes an entrepreneurial ecosystem. I think when we think about the Sacramento entrepreneurial ecosystem, there's a lot of us that are kind of in the trenches working on helping entrepreneurs, working to help them grow their businesses. And today I am so proud to be bringing on the people who are doing the heavy lifting in this ecosystem. And it's not just us, but we're going to talk about the ecosystem, the work that we're doing, where we're at today, and maybe try to imagine what we might look like if we were to be at our very best. So today I'm joined by my partner in crime, Monique Brown. She's a VP over at Haney Biz. She's helping us launch she's actually the driving force behind the Growth Factory, a new initiative we're launching here at Haney Biz that I think is gonna help the entire region. Also, I got Cameron Law. He is the executive director of the Carlson Center and working with Dale Carlson to do so much there at Sac State. Jeff Bennett and Laura Good, both the founders of Startup SAC, but doing as much work as any 10 people in the region in helping the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So I am here today with people who have really put their lives into this ecosystem. So with that said, where are we at now? Maybe Laura, I'll start with you if you don't mind. Where are we at now in Sacramento in terms of an entrepreneurial ecosystem?
Yeah, well, thank you, Mark. I've been with Sacramento's ecosystem since 2009, so I've really seen a lot of growth. And I would say the last couple of years have been really exciting. We've had new players come on board, like the Carlson Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And every day it seems like a new program is popping up that is strengthening the ecosystem and giving more and more opportunities for our entrepreneurs or those who are thinking about entrepreneurship to find a pathway to success.
Yeah. Jeff, you've been working in the trenches as well alongside Laura. What your thoughts, where we're at today? Maybe we'll go around the horn a little bit. Where's Sacramento today? You've been in this game as long as anybody.
Well, so yeah, I've been in for what, maybe 5 or 6 years now, and I see some great progress. We were just on a meeting just an hour ago where we saw somebody, a founder pitch, and seeing him come along and how far he's come along in the last 3 years is just amazing. And seeing all the different programs pop up, seeing what you and your team are doing, seeing Cameron pop up there at the Carlson Center. So there's a lot of new programs coming to play. There's a lot of, I think, excitement in the startup community. So I think we're on the cusp of really taking it to the next level here.
Yeah. Cameron, you want to chime in here, and then we'll turn the mic over to Monique.
Yeah, perfect. I think for me, one of the main things, I'll just point to the energy I feel around the ecosystem. And I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to measure what energy is, but I feel like just these conversations are popping up and we're feeling like Sacramento's developing that startup community and that entrepreneurial ecosystem. And there's just, it's more in the Business Journal, it's more in all the different media outlets, right? And so it's topical and really pushing our region forward. So I feel, for me, it's that energy around the community. And obviously with that comes new programs and resources supporting our entrepreneurs. And at the end of the day, for me is really the collaboration we're starting to see as an ecosystem to support our entrepreneurs.
Collaboration, yes. What a term. Monique, she's the captain of collaboration. Monique, for those that don't know who you are, maybe introduce yourself too a little bit. Where are we at right now? You and I have been working together a long time. Where are we at?
Yeah, thanks for that. As you said, I've been working with you for the last couple of years, and where we are at right now is on the verge of launching Growth Factory Ventures and the Sacramento Growth Factory, which I'm really excited about. As you know, kind of everyone's alluded to, I think there's been a lot of growth in the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Sacramento over the last couple of years, to the point where now I think some of these programs have the opportunity to really take us to the next level. And I'm excited about building and imagining what that is with this group of people who are so close to the founders, right? And understanding the founder's journey and, you know, some of the obstacles and opportunities that they face on a daily basis. And as you said initially, Jeff and Laura, like, you know, I think I said this to you earlier in the day. It's like, it's just, they are just always there and always on and always creating to meet the needs of our founders, especially that idea to early stage founder. And then Cameron and his leadership at the Carlson Center is creating a real magnet in the region for everybody to come together. But what I think is really changing is the awareness, right? Like the awareness of entrepreneurship as a thing in Sacramento, right? And I feel like when you started your podcast, you were kind of shouting to the wind a little bit, like, hey, this is a cool thing, we need to elevate it. And, you know, and now I feel like there's just more and more interest and awareness of the value of entrepreneurship. And I know this group shares a belief in entrepreneurship as an economic development engine. And that's really the rallying call for us coming together and imagining the future of Sacramento.
Well, Monique, I've asked you to sort of help guide this conversation a little bit. So if we end up missing something, can we hold you accountable then? Because I want to make sure we only have 45 minutes, but we want to make sure we cover this in depth enough so that people understand what we're talking about, but yet hopefully are able to have everybody get a chance to really get their point of view across, because I think we see things from a different angle, which I guess is kind of the interesting perspective. Is maybe we can start by who are these different players in the ecosystem? It's more than us that we're talking about. I like that we're talking about the founders first, but there are other players besides us. Who are these players?
Yeah, well, I can start with that, and then everybody can fill in, jump in. But when we start to, I think when we're starting now to kind of collectively think about, you know, who are the resources and who are the players in the ecosystem. First, I'll say that if you haven't already seen Jeff Bennett's work on the Startup Sac site, there is what we call the subway map. I don't know what you call it, Jeff. I call it the subway map of the, Sac entrepreneurship community. But he's done a great job over the years of kind of collecting and organizing the resources in a visual sense for kind of who's playing in this region. And then, you know, both Cameron and I have participated in something called the Sacramento iHub, which reaches even beyond maybe some of the resources on Jeff's map to include, the government, industry, and startup communities and how they intersect around entrepreneurship. So as we look at like moving ahead, like who are the players? Well, it could be anybody from the founder themselves to seed stage investors or early stage investors like the fund that you're about to launch, to, you know, a city government like the city of Sacramento with their Rails grant coming in and kind of fueling programs that support entrepreneurship, to institutions of higher education like Cameron's, who are activating the student body and bringing faculty into play and drawing in community advisors. So it's really, and I guess last kind of stakeholder that we see are the corporates like SMUD, who have launched in their own right the California Mobility Center, but have long been supporters of kind of our innovation community and really invested in building capacity in the region for our founders and our entrepreneurial service organization. So that's the way I kind of look at the landscape, but you guys jump in on what I've missed.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in. That was a great list. But one thing that in the early days and even still now has been really critical to growing our entrepreneurial ecosystem are the co-working spaces. So, I can't remember, 2008 or 2009, I think Cap City was the first co-working space, and then Urban Hive opened up in the same year. A few years later, Hacker Lab. And now there's over 20 co-working spaces in the Sacramento region, including some global ones like WeWork and Spaces. So that has been a place for entrepreneurs to gather. And the act of gathering is a really strong way of building the ecosystem. They've also been host to so many events that that I've put on, both through SARTA, through Startup SAC, through other players in the ecosystem, not charging us to use their space, but allowing us to continue the work and gather people. So I don't think we'd be where we are today without the explosion of co-working spaces in our region.
Anything to add to that, Cameron or Jeff?
I just have one addition. I think they hit the high level actors, in terms of the corporates, the support organizations, the co-working spaces, universities. I think one of the things that I look to is that we're all actors in the entrepreneurial ecosystem by being consumers, right? So choosing how we want to purchase and how we want to engage in our community. And for me, that's something shifting that mindset to really see the role that just an average consumer might be able to play in supporting their entrepreneurial ecosystem. For my own personal example, came in into the Sacramento entrepreneurial ecosystem, not thinking of even plugging in, but I plugged into 1 Million Cups and met Laura, Jeff, and Monique there, and was just inspired by the work that entrepreneurs do and said, how can I just be a part of this? Because I felt like there was part of the pulse of the community. And so really recognizing that it doesn't always have to be from an institutional or larger corporate lens, but that individuals every day are a part of that entrepreneurial ecosystem.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you guys. So I think my friends know that I am a cheerleader for entrepreneurship and a cheerleader for the Sacramento startup community and entrepreneurship in general and what it does. But I also know that culture and the culture of a community has a huge impact. You talked about mindset, Cameron. We talked about events and sort of affecting people's attitudes, because I think that's what the culture is. And we think about Sacramento as a whole. I've had a number of people say we're a government town. We have one main employer, and it's the government. And the culture of Sacramento is really not entrepreneurial. And so I would say submit to you that if that's what the general public feels, what are they missing?
That's a great question. Who wants to start with that?
I'll take a first stab at that. I think in general, not just in Sacramento, but I think in general, just general society, the people don't understand that communities looking to grow their economy really need to understand how impactful entrepreneurship and small business play in economic growth. It's entrepreneurship is a key driver of job creation, economic diversification, improving local quality of life. It's a tool out of poverty. It's a tool for reducing economic disparity and creating a positive sense of community. And I think people undervalue that, and we need to do a better job ourselves on this show right now in educating the public about that, because I think it starts with the general culture of the public and raising awareness in the public and in the civic and business leaders in the community. And I think that's something that I think everybody here is hoping to be able to do in all of our missions.
What's the difference between small business and entrepreneurship? Is it all kind of the same thing? We talked about that the other day, Laura. It's like a lot of the attention, a certain segment of the population, puts their arms around the little small business person, which we love, right? The Main Street companies, if you will, the restaurants and so on. And then there's the founders that are launching rocket ships. How do you sort of draw the line between those, two groups of business owners?
Yeah. So I would say I am drawing the line more dotted these days than I used to. In early days, I was really heavily focused on tech startups because my belief that they brought higher paying jobs to the region. And I think that is still true. But the impact that a small business owner, a brick and mortar or a business that, isn't going to scale globally or have some exit, that is still really important to the economy as well. And one way I became more sensitive to that, Jeff and I, and now I think both Cameron and Monique as well, have traveled to conferences all over the United States of other ecosystem builders. And the biggest learning for me is that there really is only one Silicon Valley. And the goal is not to become Silicon Valley. The goal is to look at what your community has to offer, what its strengths are, and to focus your ecosystem building on that. So I still find tech startups really thrilling. They probably fail at a pretty high rate, maybe as high as restaurants, I'm not sure. But I've really grown to appreciate both the side hustle and the small business venture. So I guess, in terms of ideologically, where do we draw the line? The I would say tech startups tend to maybe be, I don't even know if they're riskier, but they have a bigger plan in mind. So when they fail, you know, they fall hard, but they're all good for the Sacramento region's economy.
Can I jump in and add a couple points? One, I would just echo what Laura said in terms of the Main Street businesses versus the scalable startups. A great definition kind of comes from MTI or MIT, I apologize, has a great definition in terms of innovation driven versus, you know, the more small, medium sized business around, you know, one's kind of searching for, is an organization searching for a business model, which is kind of that startup, whereas your Main Street business, you know, they have a business model in mind, but they're really building that kind of cultural fabric of our regions and kind of our focus there. And I wanted to jump back to a question you asked, Mark, around the culture around innovation and entrepreneurship. And I think, you know, for me, looking at Sacramento as a government town, you know, one of the things that I point to is the comfortability with risk taking, right? So government just naturally isn't a risky institution. And, you know, for me, that was a learning experience jumping into academia and seeing how processes and procedures are in and everywhere a part of that, right? And so part of just the way our institutions are built are not naturally leaning towards that risk component. And so I think one of the things I look at what Jeff and Laura have done for a long time is elevating entrepreneurs in their story, right? And so the more we can start to have the story, and same with your podcast, right? Telling, hey, these are some of the failures I've had, but now I'm successful in this realm, right? And so having that comfortability with risk in our community and saying that it's, you know, it's okay to fail to a degree. Obviously, we don't want you to fail, but that that it is okay and that we'll be there to support you on the next venture and get you going in the right direction. And so for me, that's one of the areas I think that we can certainly grow in terms of our culture as a region.
Monique, why did you bring this group together? We love working together sort of, I won't say in a silo, we're all doing our own thing. We're all inclusive. Cameron and the Carlson Center is tremendously inclusive. And I know that's what, you know, just you're hearing from Laura and Jeff and how open arms they are to traditional small business and, the rocket ships or the tech companies that are scaling. Why bring this group together for this show? And what can we do to strengthen the broader alliance?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Well, first of all, like in general, I don't know that I brought the group together. I think we ran into each other and then stuck, right? Like, and so, and I'm happy that that happened, you know? And so we have been working together in this region in many different ways, formally and informally, over the last number of years. And I just have so much respect for the work that Jeff and Laura have done consistently. And, you know, like I said the other day, you know, imagine a world without Startup SAC, and don't imagine it too long, you'll get sad, right? Like, it's just, if they weren't here doing what they do in the region, we wouldn't in many ways have a startup community. So just a lot of respect for them. And then Cameron and I have had the opportunity to work side by side through SVP. Very excited that he took the helm at the Carlson Center. And, you know, true to form has just really made a lot of ground quickly. And so as we look around, and I think we all went through this last year with COVID differently, but shared the experience and the concern about the impacts that it's had in our community, mm-hmm. but also see the opportunity for what coming together in a new way could do. And I think we've built a lot of trust in this group, and Cameron will always say, you know, you can only work at the speed of trust. And, you know, so we're working pretty fast right now. And so, you know, bringing them together for this show is really an opportunity to begin to more formally elevate that conversation around entrepreneurship as an economic development engine for the region, the value that this body of work has to our community, not just for the founders or the funders, but really for the citizens and the governments and community, you know, as a whole, right? And so I'd really like to start elevating that conversation. And then outside of this podcast, we've kind of joined forces in the beginnings of forming an alliance of sorts, right? Like, where we are really thinking about how do we work together more strategically and closely, so that we are putting our founders in the center of the, you know, of the table and saying, how can we get them from idea to Series A and beyond? How can we help build the foundation? How can we help provide a foundation, education, capacity building, and connecting, so that they can get funded and scale, right? Like, and we always say bottom left to top right, we want to move them from idea and no funding, you know, all the way to, you know, a successful you know, and growing company. And so we just have a lot of shared values and shared vision. And I think that together, working with our different organizations, which play different roles in the ecosystem, but when we put them all together, we start to have some critical mass in a new and compelling way. And I think, as we've said, this is just a small representation of the people working in the broader ecosystem. So our vision is ultimately to extend our arms and, you know, involve many others in this effort. But we're just getting started.
Well, let's talk about what's broken for a second here. Again, I'm putting the devil's advocate hat on for the moment, but I hear one of the challenges or opportunities that I hear is there aren't enough great companies to invest in, right? If I put my investor hat on as well, there aren't enough great companies in the region to invest into. And, you know, and founders might even say there aren't enough investors in the community to help fund our growth. And we got to go to the Bay Area or somewhere else. But I know that there are other challenges besides just getting funded or finding great companies to invest into. Let's talk about like what we're fixing, like how big's this opportunity?
Yeah,
Laura,
you want to jump in or Cameron? Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I'll, real quickly, I think for me, I'm thinking of it from a like ecosystem lens. And I know I've talked about it kind of in an organic sense before, but, you know, capital in terms of investment and then the entrepreneurs, those are just like two inputs to this larger ecosystem, right? And so when I look at, you know, the role mentors play or education or events and these catalysts to get people, right? We talked about culture and how we really need to build that entrepreneurial mindset. Well, for me, I think what we're trying to solve is the lack of connectivity for an entrepreneur to navigate that journey, right? And so Monique used the term critical mass. And I think one of the ways I talk about is how do we create a denser network, right? So in order for an entrepreneur to get from A to B, it's as quick as possible because they went from me to Laura to Monique and they're there versus from XYZ, 1, 2, 3. And it's this huge process to get to that next step. And so for me is potentially looking at entrepreneurs might be falling out of this pipeline, for lack of a better term, because we aren't formally connected in a more effective way in getting them capital. So that's just what kind of comes to mind, is that there's obviously other resources in terms of just the financial aspect. There's that mentorship and that guidance and education.
Jeff, Laura?
Well, I'll throw in that, you know, I think it's kind of what Cameron said, but ultimately our job, I see my job as being able to facilitate and catalyze the getting of information and resources to the founders, to the entrepreneurs, to the startups as quickly and easily as I can to make their job easier. And the better job we do with that, the better job they can do. So we're here all about catalyzing and facilitating, helping the entrepreneurs get what they need. And if we can do our job, they can do their job better and get to that growth spurt that Monique was talking about.
Yeah, and if I can add, one of the things that we don't have as much of as the Bay Area. There's many things we don't have as much of, but there's people who have worked for startups before and done certain jobs that might be focused on scaling or finding product market fit. And there's these people who jump from startup to startup to startup. And we don't have that depth of experience here. So the area where I think we need more help in, you know, amplifying is what we like to call problem solution fit and product market fit. And then beyond that, program management, that I think we lack some talent in product management, not program management here. The good thing is that with the world being more open to virtual, I think we might get some resources that way. But I also think we can continue on the education path to teach entrepreneurs about these things and, you know, how to implement them in their business. You know, in the Bay Area, maybe the guy or gal sitting next to you with a cup of coffee has done this before and can teach you. So it's something we call density in the components for the startup world. And I think we can amplify the density by making these connections more deliberately than just, you know, waiting for a collision to happen.
How is COVID, you think about COVID has changed a lot of things. It put us all, I think for me at least, it sort of put me on pause for a second to rethink my approach to work, life, family, everything. But you think about the opportunities that it's created. And I'm wondering, you know, we have these people that are now working from home, which is a migration from the Bay Area to Sacramento. We have a lot of changes. Things are moving faster toward digital. How does that affect, in a good or bad way, what's happening right now in our ecosystem?
I think we would all agree that it accelerates our opportunity. And I know that we did a great exercise the other day looking at kind of how founders currently kind of work their way through the ecosystem. And Laura is often the front door for that. And I think you said, 2/3 of your inquiries are coming from people who are new to the region. And so maybe speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, so people use tools like LinkedIn to find, or Google. If you Google Sacramento and startup, I think startup Sac, at least for me, it's the first result, but that could be because based on my profile. But they'll connect with me on LinkedIn and say, I'm new to the Sacramento region. I want to get connected with the startup community. A lot of these people coming from the Bay Area. And that's what we do. We introduce them to, you know, what are some of the regular usual events where you can meet other startup founders and people interested in the startup community. So I do a lot of that on a weekly basis. We also get emails coming in through the Startup Sac website asking similar questions. So sometimes it's Jeff connecting them, sometimes it's me. I think Cameron, you get quite a few inquiries as well, don't you?
Yeah, so I would definitely echo that, Laura, and get a ton of inquiries. And I think two things that come to mind. One is from an ecosystem lens, we've collaborated more effectively and more formally. So working with Startup Sac on a number of programs to serve our entrepreneurs. So it was kind of, hey, we need to band together and really make sure that we're here to support. I did, just kind of before I hopped on, I went and did some research, and actually on a national average, entrepreneurship, as you would expect, has actually grown over the COVID period. So on a national trend in 2019, there was 380 people out of 100,000 were entrepreneurs, and now that's up to 480 across the nation. For one, I think area that particularly is interest to you, Mark, the veteran entrepreneurs was at an all-time low. So 190 entrepreneurs out of 100,000, whereas now it's up to 320. So we've seen dramatic uptick in entrepreneurship. And so I think for us, as I'm looking to sustain that energy as an ecosystem, right, how do we continue to foster those seeds going forward? So when we're out of the current pandemic, that we have it all aligned and we have the tracks ready to go and go full steam ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have people who want to be, maybe they want to become an entrepreneur. Maybe they have more free time because they're it can start as a side hustle, as we know. If you're working more remote, it may eliminates the commute time and some of those kind of things. So there's more opportunity, I think, for people to kind of dabble in the startup. But we have this migration into the Bay Area. But you know, this group of people, we're used to throwing parties, right? We like to have events and rally people to join the entrepreneurial ecosystem. But It's been a little tougher. Would you admit that?
It hasn't been as fun. But to our surprise, we actually get greater attendance at our online events than we had at in-person events. And that really shocked us. I think, maybe in March that wasn't the case of last year, but by May, people were turning up in, double the number that they had at other things. So they're getting more information, but we're missing that fun part of, just meeting somebody in person and clicking. And, we're looking forward to that coming back.
When's the next event? Who's throwing the next event?
Well, we have Startup Happy Hour, which is online on March 30th, but in person, I don't know. That's a great question. And just adding on to Laura's thoughts I think in terms of programmatic increases have certainly been there, but I think it's, for me, we're starting to see new people come into the ecosystem where it might not have been as accessible, right? So, I know coming to the Carlson Center can be difficult, parking and all the barriers to get there, right? And so we've started to see new people come to the ecosystem, which broaden our opportunity to actually serve the ecosystem. So, I think there is value in it, but I also, I enjoy getting together. And I think what has been missing is the random collisions in a space to spur new ideas, right? When I think of when we first came into the space, I was thinking back to when Steve Jobs built Apple, right? He created the space to have random collisions, and we just don't have that in a virtual world. And so I'm ready for that to certainly come back and have those more organic conversations coming back.
Yeah, I agree. We have a co-working space down here at Haney Biz, and it's starting to pick up a little bit, but it was sort of a morgue there for a while. It was quiet. It was almost kind of an ominous type feeling. And some of those random collisions that we would have that were, very inspiring in many cases, they've basically gone down to almost nothing, which is sad. But I think they're coming back. I would agree. Monique, I want to maybe kick it over to you to sort of make sure that we're covering the topics around the ecosystem that you wanted to make sure that we touched on.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Well, I think it would be great and to talk a little bit about how we see the future. And I think that part of that is around, and we had this conversation, this group had this conversation the other day around moving entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship from the peripheral and moving it, you know, more to the center. And how do we do that? And what does it take? And who needs to be involved? And so maybe a little bit around that. And I know Cameron has been, and Jeff have been putting a lot of thought behind a program to really activate champions of entrepreneurship. And so maybe talking a little bit about what you see in the future and how our collaboration may build something new.
I guess I'll jump in, and then Jeff, if I miss anything, and same with you, Laura. So I think for me, the vision is tough because, you know, one of the things that's really stuck with me, and it's kind of my ecosystem building Bible, if I say, is the startup community way. And one of the things they talk about is the vision is 20 years from today. So every day you're working towards that vision that you won't necessarily get to. And that's a different mindset in terms of building an ecosystem, right? That we might not actually reap the rewards of what we're trying to build in terms of an entrepreneurial ecosystem. So for me, there is a fundamental little bit different, but what that vision does look like is a vibrant place where entrepreneurship is at the center of our community, and that we go to them for solving our region's problems, right? So really looking at it through that problem lens of how can our entrepreneurs come to the table and be the people that are there solving it. And for me, you know, why I gravitate towards entrepreneurs is because I believe they come to problem solving with such empathy, right? Like that's how you're effective in being an entrepreneur, is putting yourself in the shoes of those that you're trying to serve or solve their problems. And so for me, that's what excites me about the vision of the future, is people really trying to support one another, solve each other's problems, and the people that are ultimately supporting them in growing our region. And so having that at the forefront of our conversations and the way we approach the future.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would also say, you know, my vision is to see a region that's with thriving, dynamic startup ventures, and where the people in the region, just the ordinary citizens, there's a buzz about the startups and the businesses. So it's I kind of almost make it similar to like sports fans. It's like, oh, did you hear about the new startup that's doing this, or this entrepreneur who did that? And then it's just celebrated in the community. I think that's my ultimate vision of what an awesome dynamic community this could be.
Yeah. I love that. I say on the show often enough, you know, that I'm on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown I love. And, you know, what does it look like? I mean, you know, we talked about this the other day. What does it look like? And if you could see the average citizen rallying around them like they do the Republic or the Kings, rallying around a startup, you know, putting their money.
Playing cards, like baseball, trading cards for startups.
I really like that, Jeff. That's a great, I love the metaphor.
We got a new project.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some seasonal events, big events that get the whole community involved, including a very early stage startup like pitch competition, where it's people who have ideas that don't necessarily have traction yet, but they pitch at this big event that's supported by all the business leaders, and the winners get some seed money, like in the form of a grant, to go build that thing, or to do their validation and see where they can get in 6 months. You know, something with a lot of visibility. We've got some things like King's Capitalize. You have Mark Tank. There's Five Star Bank Tank, but not necessarily everybody gets involved in those. So I'd like to see one that the whole community is shouting about, and you know, that it's going to, if it makes the Sacramento Bee, because they don't put a lot of startup news in there. That's my vision, is that it's so exciting that it's in the Sacramento Bee.
I love it. Well, I mean, at some level, the startup, maybe our startup community is it's underestimated, or maybe I don't want to say disrespected. That would be maybe too strong, but people aren't aware of it. But I would submit this to the group too. Are there certain pieces of the startup community that are getting left behind? Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about people that, you know, you don't, Laura, excuse me, I'm pointing at her on this Zoom call, about people that maybe aren't, would go for a grant, right? It's not necessarily investment, but that very early stage idea person, are they getting left behind?
I feel like we're leaving behind women of color and people who are growing up in neighborhoods where maybe they don't have, maybe they weren't able to go to college, or they don't have someone in their community that they can look at and see what they achieved. So they don't have that that role model to look at. And there's been a few programs, you know, on and off to support that. Hacker Lab just launched one called Makers, which is specifically for women who want to start businesses. But I think what I've learned over the last few years is that people want to learn from people they can relate to. And the people you can relate to look like you, have similar backgrounds and experiences, and that we need to be more sensitive to that and get more people involved in building the startup community who maybe come from, you know, non-traditional pathways to entrepreneurship.
I love it. What's the avenue for that? How do we do that?
There's some programs that have, one I'm thinking of, Washington, D.C., called 1863 Ventures. They deliberately set about to change the narrative about entrepreneurship. So typically in the press, you hear about, you know, the Facebook, Mark Zuckerbergs and the Steve Jobs, you know, the guys who just built it in their garage and took it to $1 billion valuations. But you don't hear about the other success stories, you know, the working mother with two jobs who created this side project and grew that. And so we need to do a better, more deliberate job about telling those success stories and showing that it's not just the high tech startups who are entrepreneurs, but, you know, it's the everyday people working in neighborhoods we don't talk enough about or show or celebrate enough about, and showing their success stories as well.
Yeah, if I could add, one thing we saw during this COVID year was a lot of like CARES money going towards programs that upskill people, but money going away from programs that teach people how to be entrepreneurs. And I think that was a mistake, that some money should still have been set aside to, you know, don't just upskill people, teach them how to have their own company. So I would like to see more of that going forward, more, you know, government spending, if you will, on teaching people about entrepreneurship and not just focusing on job workforce training.
Yeah. I think there's some encouraging. Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was just going to add real quickly on top of kind of what Laura's last point. We've talked a lot about Victor Wang's work on Right to Start. And so one of those kind of efforts he's pushing is the 5%, where 5% of government contracts go to startups and small businesses, right? And so really creating that intentional effort, and right, and that has more resources that can help bridge that gap for our communities.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I think there's some positive, I don't know if they're early indicators, but some changes that I'm definitely seeing, even in the kind of community college system and the work that's Cameron's certainly doing it at Sac State, but just was talking with someone at Sierra College about a grant they got, or a project that they're doing in partnership with MIT to bring kind of innovation and the innovation mindset to the students at Sierra College, right? It's a brand new program. They're in the design phase right now, but they're really looking at, you know, how do you take the students that they're dealing with, many of which are coming from communities that, you know, that we've been speaking of course, and, you know, or aren't necessarily on track for a four-year college degree, but are looking to, you know, gain access to resources that can, you know, put them on the path to economic security. And they are really looking at some exciting stuff there around innovation and entrepreneurship and engineering and makerspace kind of stuff that addresses this. So that's like encouraging to see at the community college level. I know that through SVP, we've looked at programs that are touching high school students as well, you know, but I think there's just really a lot of work to be done, right? Like there is not enough going on. We don't have enough engagement. We don't know necessarily who to be connecting with. There is a lot of work to be done. And for Sacramento to be successful, this has to be part of the work that we're doing without question.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure everybody has a chance to maybe give some closing thoughts about the ecosystem, about what you're doing. Maybe there's a call to action that you might be thinking about. So I don't know who might want to start us off, but think about my closing thoughts, I'll give you each a chance to sort of think about that. But my thought is gratitude, right? So as somebody who grew up here, had a little bit of success with small business, and, you know, I'm deeply passionate about what a small business can do for a family, for his or her employees, and for the hometown that he loves. And so I am so appreciative of you that the amount of lives you're touching, the amount of people that you're influencing, it's like those little tiny, sometimes we don't even see the results for 5, 10, 20 years, or we never see them, but we're putting in this work. It's tireless work. It doesn't pay all that well. It's just something we do because we believe in it. So I just want to say, as a hometown guy, somebody who loves the town, loves entrepreneurship and what it stands for, thank you for what you do. So now I've given you a little bit of thought to, and my call to action to you is, to us is, let's come together. If you are an entrepreneur, an investor, an ecosystem member, hit me up. I'm like, my door's wide open, but I'll kind of throw it around the horn for everybody to do their call to action and their maybe some closing thoughts.
At the top of the horn.
Jeff, go for it.
So I just want to reiterate what I said before. I think cultivating and nourishing a local entrepreneurship and startup ecosystem, it's going to create a virtuous cycle of innovation and new business creation and job creation. And I think that every can get behind that kind of a thing. So I would say that anybody who believes in those things, entrepreneurship is a way to move our economy forward. Hit up, I mean, I'm sure you're going to put some links in the comment section or in the thing of YouTube on this. So hit Mark up, hit us up. And if you're interested in doing that, let us know.
I'll follow up with that. Something just came to mind. What's that movie, that Christmas movie about, like, is the guy Santa Claus or not? And he has to like have a court trial to see if he's insane. What is that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, the name is just escaping me. It's even been remade, but the point here is what that Santa did that was really controversial. He worked for Macy's and he told a mother where to get a toy that her child wanted at Gimbel's. And that was like really controversial that he would be telling them to go to the competition. Well, that is an example of collaboration in our ecosystem. You know, at Startup SAC, we don't just share information about our programs and events. We share information about everything we know about that's going on in the ecosystem. And it's not one size fits all. One program might be better for somebody else. And so my challenge is to, you know, all the ecosystem builders out there who have programs is, you know, be like Santa and figure out what that person needs and tell them where to go get it.
Love that. That's a tough one to follow.
Yeah, drop the mic.
Dang, I should have jumped in earlier. So I'm going to start with my ask, and my ask is just jump into the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So don't be afraid. You know, we're pretty accessible individuals, and our you know, our programs and our community is certainly welcoming. And I start with the ask because I'll share why I do what I do. I think, you know, in order for me to ask you to come in and join the work, I should share why I do it. And so for me, I go back to just, I love the Sacramento region and the role entrepreneurship plays in actually building a thriving region. And, you know, Jeff talked a lot about the economic imperative of entrepreneurs and building jobs. But for me, also, entrepreneurs are building the physical and virtual fabric of our communities, right? And so being a part of that work and working side by side with an entrepreneur is just such a rewarding experience, and one that you actually get to be a part of actually building your community and having your voice a part of that. And so for me, is just jump in. We need everyone. For me, is, you know, the region is you're included in the region, right? And so in order for you to really be a part of what that future looks like, I urge you to jump in and help make Sacramento the next entrepreneurial hub.
I remembered the name of the movie. That was great, Cameron, by the way. Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Well, I'm gonna steal Mark's line and just wrap up by saying, you know, we've been talking a lot about how nobody builds a truly great company alone, and we believe, our team believes, and I think this whole group believes, that nobody builds a truly great community alone. And so we were talking the other day, the five people on this call cannot make this happen, right? Like, we need an army of people. Yeah. It does take an army of people to make this happen. And so we are looking for you know, people with different perspectives, backgrounds, ideas, you know, and a lot of energy to join us in creating something truly special, for now, for our founders today, but really for the future of our region and our city. So I couldn't be more grateful to work with Mark and to have the ability to be working on this and to have partners like Cameron, Laura, and Jeff. I mean, it just really, every day I wake up just feeling very grateful and excited about the work ahead.
I love it. I'm optimistic. The team coming together, I think the sky's the limit. I think, Cameron, we can transform this this culture and this, this town through entrepreneurship. So again, thank you all for what you do, for being a part of this and for your friendship. And I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Great show today. And it reminds me of, what my mom said to me as a kid, you put the people in your life that make you a little bit more likely to succeed. We end up being sort of the composite of the people that we spend the most time with, and spending time with the people on the show today, the people in the entrepreneurial ecosystem. It's motivational, inspirational. And I think it makes me better at wanting to do what I want to do, which is really to back our hometown entrepreneur. So if you're out there building your business, you want to connect up, you know where to find me. Find me on Instagram, on LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever, all those places at The Mark Haney. And again, if you're an entrepreneur out there, fight the good fight for entrepreneurship. You know what? We're never above you. We're never below you. And you can count on one thing. We are always by your side.
See by the dawn.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.